Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. We're looking at Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. It's our text this morning. I mentioned last night as we come to Revelation, chapter 5, both chapter 5 and chapter 4, we see a heavenly worship service going on. In fact, I want to read for context both chapters 4 and 5, the 11 verses of chapter 4 and the 14 of verse of chapter 5. So we'll begin our reading in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. We'll read through chapter 5, verse 14. Hear now the word of our God, Revelation 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne there were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain and have redeemed us to God by Your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. The reading of God's holy word. Take that in. What a picture. I'm going to say more, but I don't really feel like I have words to say. Because of the picture here we have of the worship of God. Let us pray and ask God to open this up more to us this morning. Our God, what a vivid picture you've given us. As you called your servant John through that door standing open in heaven by your Spirit to witness the worship going on in the courts of heaven. Oh God, we desire to have a glimpse of that. We desire to enter into that place of worship, to worship you. You are worthy of all worship. You are the worthy one who has created all things. You are worthy because you have redeemed us and made us kings and priests to you, our God. Oh, open our ears to hear. Open my mouth to speak the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a worship service recorded for us here. I selected this because we're finishing this Advent series, looking at Jesus and who he is, and Jesus as the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is the Lamb who was slain. When we think about worship, I really believe that Christmas, above all, is a time of worship. It's fitting that we're here today. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day he has set apart for his worship. In fact, when you think about the season of Christmas, think about the worship that happened as Christ took on flesh. The Son of God, the Word, became flesh. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Christ is born, the announcement comes, and suddenly there was with the angel who announced a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then a little later in Luke chapter 2, verse 20, we read that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Matthew chapter 2, we read that a little later on, we're not told how long, but after his birth, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And what was the question that was on their minds? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? We know he has been born. We have seen his star in the east. And we have come to worship him. A little later on, in Matthew 2, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and listen to this, they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, incense, and myrrh. Why? Why were the angels worshiping? Why were the shepherds worshiping? Why were these wise men worshiping? Because of the one that we read of here in Revelation chapter 5, the one who is worthy. There's a song by Chris Tomlin, Is He Worthy? That's the question. Is he worthy? Oh, and the answer comes back, he is. He is. That's what I want you to see this morning. I want you to consider how worthy Jesus is. To ask yourself, do I see the worth? Do I see the worth of Jesus? Can I ask the question, is he worthy, and answer it with a hearty, he is. Can you join in the song that we see represented here? The song of the redeemed. It's really what we see in Revelation 5. In fact, we see two songs here in Revelation chapter 4. We see what we might call the song of creation. It's a responsive song. It's antiphonal. It's a fancy word to say that one group sings and another responds. We see the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And then we see whenever the angels sing this song, we see the elders, representative of the church, responding, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." We see the song of creation, but then as we enter into Revelation 5, we see the song of redemption. It's interesting because one commentator pointed out that in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the word throne occurs some 17 times. The word throne. It's interesting because Revelation chapter 4 and 5 really teach one main message. A message that can be found in Psalm 99:1. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. The Lord reigns. Here we have this picture of a throne in the center of all things. Now, it used to be questioned by scientists, well, is the world geocentric? Is the earth in the center of everything? Then they came to understand, oh no, wait, we're heliocentric. We go around the sun. I would say, no, not geocentric or heliocentric, but theocentric. The center of the universe is a throne. A throne upon which God sits. Later on, at the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, it's called the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it's because of this throne, and it's because of the Lamb, that we see this progression. It's interesting, in Revelation 5, we see a progression. Here's the progression. We go from John weeping, because no one is found who is worthy to open the scroll. We go from John weeping, because no one is found worthy, to everyone worshiping. How do we go from John weeping to everyone worshiping? Well, Jesus appears on the scene. He sees the Lamb. And he's told, weep no more. The time for weeping is gone. It is the time to worship. There is one who is worthy. In fact, there is only one who is worthy. And the rest of us are just worshipers who are worshiping the one who is worthy. It's really what I want to impress upon you this morning. When we see the worth of Jesus, our weeping will always be replaced with worshiping. When we see the worth of Jesus, that's what we need to see. That's what is pictured here. He is worthy, and we are called to worship Him. We see the worth of Jesus here. He's worthy in a very unique way. Now, we're told in verse 1 of chapter 5, that in the midst of this worship service, and at the end of the song of creation, John notices something. He notices that in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, that is God the Father, there was a scroll. This scroll was written inside and on the back. Now, normally you might not write on the back of a scroll, but this scroll had so much information in it, every part of it was covered. What is this scroll, we might ask? Well, it's really the sovereign will of God being accomplished in the world. Not only in creation, but also redemption. And then there's this question that goes out in verse 2. A strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" In other words, who is worthy? Who is the one who is going to implement God's will, His sovereign will of redemption? Who is it that's going to fulfill God's purposes? And in verse 3, no one in heaven. No angelic being. Not even the archangels. No one from Michael, Gabriel, down is found. No one on the earth. No living man, no matter how strong or how wise, can break these seals and open this scroll. No one under the earth. No power. You see, everything is covered here. No one in heaven, no one on the earth, no one under the earth. There is no one, no created being is worthy to open the scroll to accomplish God's purposes. Jesus is worthy in a unique way. There's no one like him. But he's also worthy in an unexpected way. I love this. John begins to weep because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. But one of the elders, now the elders here are representative of the church, not just elders who are in the office of elder, but those who are members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the elders actually says to John, "Do not weep." The Greek behind this, "Stop weeping. Stop weeping." And he tells him to look. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49 verses 9 and 10 says that Judah will be as a lion's whelp. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ came from the line of David, who was from the tribe of Judah. So he's told here to look. "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seals." Here's the good news that is proclaimed. There is one who is worthy. But it's so fascinating. Jesus is worthy in an unexpected way because John is told, "Look, there's the lion." And so John looks. But what does John see? What do we read? Verse 6. "I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders." Now here, this one is in the middle of everything. He's in the center. And John may have been expecting to see this big, muscular lion, the one who is worthy. But what do we read? "The one who was in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures in the midst of the elders was a lamb, as though it had been slain." Thought about this. School I went to when I was younger had a mascot of a lion, a Christian school. And, you know, there are many different mascots out there. Knights, lions, bears. One commentator puts it this way. "When earthbound men want symbols of power, they conjure up mighty beasts and birds of prey. Russia elevates the bear, Britain the lion, France the tiger, the United States the spread eagle. All of them ravenous. It is only the kingdom of heaven that would dare use as its symbol of might, not the lion for which John was looking, but the helpless lamb. And at that, a slain lamb." Unexpected. Isn't that the way of God? God works in such unexpected ways. We're looking for this power to come rushing in like a lion, and John turns, and who does he see? A lamb. And so here's what I want to say to you. Don't be so sure you know how God is going to work in the world. We're not told what John thought here. But John, hearing, "Look, there's the lion," then sees a lamb. God works in unexpected ways. But even though this might have been an unexpected way, it is an unmatched way. Notice this. He's the lamb who's standing. He stood there. He's not a lamb that has fallen. There stood a lamb as if he had been slain. The marks of the crucifixion he still bears. But he is not in the tomb. He is standing there in the midst of this worship service. And he's described as one who has seven horns and seven eyes. The number seven, the number of perfection. Horns in the Old Testament speaks of authority and power. Here we see he is one who is worthy in power. Eyes, wisdom, being able to see. Perfect wisdom, seven eyes. Penetrating wisdom, the seven spirits sent out into all the earth. He gives us this spirit, doesn't he, as his people? A spirit of wisdom and a sound mind. This is who he is. He is worthy. This is why we read in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Therefore," speaking of Jesus, "God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Later on in Revelation 19, verse 16, We read that Jesus has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is because he is the one who is worthy that this elder tells John, do not weep. Do not weep. John is told to stop weeping. John is told to open his eyes, to wipe away the tears, and to look at the one who is worthy. In other words, what this elder is saying to John is, now is not the time for weeping, but for worship. Why? Here is why. This comes out in the worship, as we'll get to that in a moment. Because he has redeemed us to God by his blood, this is verse 9, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. In other words, God's plans and purposes for the redemption of his people will happen. They will happen. He is worthy to do it and has done it. And it's so fascinating here again. Who is it that tells John? Now you would think this is John, the disciple of Jesus. This is John who leaned on the breast of our Savior while he was on the earth. This is John, the apostle. And yet here, this unnamed elder, representative of a member of the church, proclaims this truth to him. Stop crying. There is one who is worthy. John, yes, he was disciple of Jesus while Jesus was on the earth. Yes, he was an apostle. Yes, he was used mightily by God to bring the word to us. But here he needs to be reminded of this. And we're not even told who this elder is. But I want to encourage you with this. You who are in Christ, you who are a member of his church, guess what? This is the very same message that you can go tell others. Do not weep. One who is worthy has been found. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you the one who will wipe away tears. Let me tell you about the one who has accomplished God's will. Let me tell you about Jesus. This is the message. This is the message that we need to bring to the world. Do not weep. Stop weeping. Stop crying. There is one who is worthy, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we sharing that message? And this isn't simply a message. Don't hear this as a message that just simply needs to be shared to someone out there. This is a message that you need to hear and that I need to hear. John needed to hear this. We need to hear this. Our children need to hear this. As I reflected upon this message and the fact that this is a worship service, and we're gathered here together for a worship service, I reflected on the reality that sometimes we see individuals, perhaps even our own children or others, who don't seem interested in coming to church. We wish that there was more zeal there. We wish that they would want to be here. And as a pastor, I've seen this. I've seen individuals who I really wish I saw more of a desire to be in church. And my natural tendency is to come with the law. God thunders from Sinai and says, I'm calling you into worship. You better be here. Now, it's true that God calls us into worship, and it's a command, and we ought to obey it. But as I studied this passage this week, I was reminded that that's not ultimately the draw. In fact, that will only get people to show up out of compulsion. But here's the draw. The draw is the beauty of Christ. The draw is the reality that he is worth it. I hope that's what made all of you get up this morning and brave the cold and come here. Not because it was your duty, not because it's what you do, but because he is worthy. That's the message. That's what will bring people. We need to proclaim his worth. People need to see his glory. People need to understand who he is. I'm convinced that if people see his worth and understand who he is and the Spirit works that in the heart, you will not be able to keep them from worship. Is that why you're here? Are you here this morning primarily because Jesus is worth it. And so we see the one who is worthy, but we also see the result of this, the worship of Jesus that breaks out in heaven. We see the worshipers. We see these 24 elders. We're told that there are these 24 elders in verse 8. They fell down before the Lamb. This represents the church. These 24 elders represent the church, broadly speaking. The church is gathered together and worshiping. We also see the angels involved, the holy angels involved in this worship. I don't have time to go into it now, but the living creatures are most likely the cherubim. This is brought out in the book of Ezekiel. But we see many angels then, the four living creatures and the 24 elders. They fall down before the Lamb. And ultimately, in verse 13, we see that all creation joins in. You see, there's a building up. There's the angels that begin, and then the crescendo continues with the church. And then finally, all creation is joining in with this worship. Verse 13, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. As we think about creation joining in, direct your attention to Romans 8, verses 20 through 22. Listen to these words. The creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. You see, what does the hymn say? The hymn says that he will come to remove the curse as far as it is found. Creation itself will glorify the Lamb who is worthy. Those are the worshipers, the church, the angels, all creation. But then we see the worship service. There are songs of praise. We're told in verse 9 that the elders who were falling down before the Lamb, in verse 8, the elders who fell down before the Lamb, they each had a harp. The harp was the traditional instrument for the singing of psalms and worship of God. And notice every one of them. Remember, I told you this represents the church. Every one of them had a harp. Now, this doesn't mean that each of you needs to go learn an instrument. But what it does mean is that God has given each of you an instrument. It's called your voice. Now, I'm not against having choirs and different music in the church. That's fine. But we must never forget that we are the choir. All of us together are the choir. Each of these individuals had a harp. And we're told that they sang in verse 9 a new song. The song of the redeemed. Psalm 98 verses 1 through 3 puts it this way. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We see in verse 9, they sing directly to God. You are worthy. You are worthy to take the scroll, singing to Christ himself. But also, they make melody in their hearts, singing to one another. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb. Now here they're singing about him. Let me tell you about the one who is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. There is that sevenfold list of perfection. Worthy is the Lamb. They're singing directly to God. They're singing to one another. But not only are they singing songs of praise, but we see the prayers of the saints in verse 8. We're told that each of these elders, not only did they have a harp and were singing praise, but they had golden bowls full of incense. Now, thankfully, there's a description given here. These golden bowls full of incense are the prayers of the saints. Now, in worship in the Old Testament, they would light and burn incense, and the aroma would go up. It would ascend to heaven, and so here the prayers are likened to incense being burnt and ascending into heaven. Our prayers ascend into heaven to the very throne of God. Psalm 141, verse 2, the psalmist puts it this way: "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And here we learn something very important, that praise and prayer always go together, don't they? Praise and prayer always go together. In fact, what are the Psalms? We sing them, but they're prayers. And I would encourage you in this: if you're having trouble praying, sing your prayers. Sing unto God and pray in that way. And here we see the singing of praise. We see the prayers of the saints. But then I want you to notice something that might not be as obvious. Look with me at verse 14. "Then the four living creatures said, Amen." We learned about that word earlier, so be it. "And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Here, the congregation of the church simply falls down and worships him. Silence. Adoration. In the presence of God. In the presence of the Lamb, the one who is worthy. A silence in our day is rare. We have so much going on. So much content out there. We leave the radio on, we leave the TV on. We constantly fill our eyes and ears. It's almost as if we're afraid of silence. But here's what I want you to see. We must make room for silence. In fact, this is a question I have for you. Have you ever come to a place in worship where you find it necessary to shut your mouth and bow before your God? Does your concept of worship include or have any room for simply sitting in the presence of God in silent adoration? That's what we see here. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. But let me tell you this, whether you're singing, whether you're praying, or whether you're sitting in silence, there's one thing you ought not to be doing: weeping. What is John told? Do not weep. Do not weep. One who is worthy has been found, the Lamb who is standing there, who was slain, is worthy to open the scroll, is worthy to both reveal and fulfill God's redemptive will for all of creation. And this, brothers and sisters, this is what we need to see. This is what is going to bring us to worship. This is what is going to sustain us in worship. This is what is going to see us through, so that when we take our last breath, we will be worshiping the one who is worthy. The weeping that we may have over the guilt of our sins is replaced with worship for the redemption we see in our Savior. The weeping over the state of the world. The weeping over the state of the world is replaced with worship for the coming redemption. We see the picture of that here as creation joins in the praise. And so Christmas, what is it about? Well, a lot of different things, but I would say it's supremely about worship, isn't it? Christmas is a time of worship. Angels worshiped at the birth of Christ. Shepherds worshiped. Wise men came and bowed down before him. That's the call to you and to me, to worship. And so this is what I want you to think about. Here we see this glorious picture of worship. We see the song of creation in chapter 4. We see the song of redemption in chapter 5. We see the reason that weeping is ended and worship has begun, because the one who is worthy has been revealed. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb who was slain. And the only question is what is our response? Are we part of the choir? Is that why you're here today? Maybe you didn't come here today because of the worth of Christ. But I hope you leave here today saying, I'm coming back because of the worth of Christ. Because he is worthy. This is the joy that is available to every believer. This is the joy that I hope you experience today. And let me tell you this. This is the joy. Like the elder who shared with John, who said, do not weep, look at the Lamb. This is the joy that we need to go out from this place and share with everyone who will listen. Because it is this truth that he is worthy that will draw people to be in a place of worship with us. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us to see the worth of our Savior. For we proclaim with the living creatures, the angels, and the elders, and all creation gathered around the throne, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Oh God, may you increase that vision in our own hearts, and may that be what we demonstrate before a watching world. And we ask, God, that for those who do not yet see your worth, that you would open their eyes to see. For we desire them to join with us in this great song of the redeemed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.